Howdy do, buggeroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday. I hope everyone who got an extended weekend was able to enjoy it. Today is the 8th of September. I have been informed by sources familiar with the matter that that is, in fact, the date. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi. Nice to be here on Logical Monday.
There is nothing logical about this day, but I accept your good wishes. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly. Good to be here. Thanks for having us, as always.
I'm very glad you're both joining us. And the reason you're both here is to talk about a little bit of news Apple dropped this morning. And that is that there is going to be an event... the iPhone event, as a matter of fact. We're finally getting the announcement about the iPhone event. The iPhone event is happening September 15th.
Wait. You mean the event that occurs in September that has always been the iPhone event, but this year is not the iPhone event because it's the Apple Watch event because time flies? That one?
I'm listening.
So every year, Apple announces a new phone in September and ships a week later. But as we've been following for the last few months, the pandemic has caused a delay in the production of the new iPhone 12s. So instead, according to Mark Gurman at Bloomberg and others, what Apple's going to do is have a September event where they're going to announce a new iPad Air, maybe an Air Power, maybe not.
Okay. And, now, we've heard this Air Power thing before.
There's more credence to the Air Power now that we've heard some good rumors that Apple really wants to get away from ports on the phone.
Yeah, that's true.
So that makes sense. Well, so what Gurman's talking about is a new iPad Air with bezel free or small bezel, and an Apple Watch 6. And maybe an Apple Watch low end. How that's going to be less expensive, we don't know. I want to hear what Brian thinks about a low end Apple Watch. Andrew Orr called it an Apple Watch SE, which is brilliant.
Yes, I was going to say Andrew coined the phrase Apple Watch SE, which I thought was very clever. Brian, what's your take on all this iPhone event, which is not really going to talk about the iPhone all that much?
Well, we've known from Apple's own comments that the iPhone would be delayed compared to most years. So I get the idea of Apple wanting to do an event in September because that is pretty traditional. So everything that John just laid out makes a lot of sense. It would be interesting to see Apple lay out a new low-end Apple Watch, in that Apple has for years now used previous generations of the Apple Watch to be the low-end Apple Watch, to be the, right, you know, the less expensive entry. Yeah. So that one would kind of surprise me, but this is a year of surprises, huh?
That may be the most understated thing I've heard you say in quite some time, Mr. Chaffin.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense because Apple's done so well with the Apple Watch and they're leading in the market share, that when you're really successful in a way like that, the best thing to do is pour gasoline on the fire and just really stoke the fires.
Well,
and come up with a less expensive watch because it's so popular. But a lot of people I've talked to, you know, blanch at the idea of $399 for a watch, and a $199 Apple Watch would be a no-brainer.
Well, there are more people for whom $199 Apple Watch might be accessible, but I wouldn't call it like a no-brainer for everybody. $200, $400 is not a lot of money in the world of watches, but for a whole lot of people, it is in fact a lot of money on a purely objective, you know, absolute basis.
I think what you mean, Brian, is to watch people. $400. It's not a big deal for a watch. But for people who are not watch people,
which is a much bigger,
which is way more group. People. Yeah.
And don't forget too, I mean, like, there are a lot of people right now who are struggling. There are a lot of people who, I mean, you know, the US has never had so many people on unemployment. And, you know, at some point, this is going to start catching up somewhere to the consumer electronics market and to the tech world in general. And, you know, Apple could possibly be trying to position itself to be better insulated from ripples in the economy.
Yeah.
Now, right. Just like the iPhone SE did that for them.
Right. And I would point out that I just went and looked really quick. And the Apple Watch Series 3 is $199. And that's the lowest price watch in the Apple Watch section from Apple themselves. Maybe you can get a better deal on it somewhere else. I don't know. But currently it looks like the entry level watch is Series 3 for $199. Which is an awesome watch, by the way. If you don't have one or you know somebody who's looking at one, and $400 is an awful lot of money for a watch because they're people and not watch people, then here's the thing that I would suggest is that, like, Series 3 is $199, which might be a little easier to, a little more palatable number, if especially if it's, you know, your first Apple Watch looking to dabble, then $200 sounds a lot more reasonable. And again, that comes with the asterisk of real life concerns, both budgetary and not, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're a person who is looking and possibly in the market for something like an Apple Watch, $199 is a good way to do that.
It'd be interesting to see what features they eliminate from a less expensive watch, because the big thing about the watch is health and fitness and the monitoring aspects, the heart or arrhythmia. The new feature coming on the iPhone, on the Apple Watch 6, excuse me, snacking myself. The Apple Watch 6 is supposed to have pulse oximeter. And so that all this hardware that helps you monitor your health is what has made the Apple Watch so successful. So it's going to be a tough decision to figure out how to.
But, you know, there's a whole bunch of people who, like, just want to measure their steps.
Right.
You know, Fitbit has done such a great job of defining, you know, fitness or exercise, actually, really, or even the appearance of exercise, the perception of exercise by steps. I mean, I still get questions about, does the Apple Watch track your steps, from folks I know. And if I don't think that Apple has to have heart beat monitoring or tracking or ECG features or heart arrhythmia detection, anything like that, I don't think Apple has to have that in an entry device. To wit, it doesn't currently, because the Apple Watch Series 3 doesn't.
Right.
And so, you know, if Apple can meet that same price point without it being a 2-year-old watch, that may boost their prospects.
That raises the question, Brian. The Apple Watch Series 3 at $199 is basically what the Apple Watch 6 SE would be. So why introduce a new watch that's the same as what you can buy now for $199 and Apple Watch Series 3 when it is just a new label?
Perhaps because of some advance that Apple is wanting to bring to market. Could be from the power management standpoint. It could be something about a new chip. Yeah, it could make the prospect of doing this give Apple more opportunities for new sales than simply, you know, making the Apple Watch Series 4 the new $199 device.
Well, right. I have a thought on that, but before we get there, think on it for a minute, John, because then I'm going to pitch you what my idea is for what the SE would look like. But first, I'm going to take a minute and tell you about our sponsor this week. And our sponsor this week is Mint Mobile. If you're still using one of those big wireless providers this year, have you asked yourself what you're actually paying for? Because it's probably expensive retail stores and inflated prices and hidden fees. We know how they love a fee. You're being taken advantage of because they know you'll pay. Mint Mobile will provide the same premium network coverage at a fraction of the cost because everything's set up online. Mint Mobile makes it easy for you to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month. Every plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text, and you save money by only paying for the data that you actually use. You can use your own phone with Mint Mobile, and you can keep your same phone number along with all your existing contacts. I use it now, and switching over was really easy. Activation was a snap online, and everything I needed showed up straight at my house. I didn't have to go anywhere, and that was super great. My chance to test reception obviously has been limited, but everywhere I've been has been pretty good. So if you want to ditch your old wireless bill and start saving with Mint Mobile, you can do that by cutting everything down to maybe even just $15 a month and get everything shipped to your door for free by going to mintmobile.com/TDO. That's mintmobile.com/TDO to cut your wireless bill down to practically nothing at mintmobile.com/TDO. And we'd like to thank Mint Mobile for sponsoring the show today. Now, here's what I'm thinking of when I think of the SE. If we talk about the Apple Watch SE, what I think of is the thing that makes the iPhone SE have a lot of appeal for a lot of people, and that's size. What if what comes out is just a smaller watch?
I was thinking about that during the commercial break. Our great minds think alike.
Well, this is my favorite thing about the SE.
Apple Watch being a little bit too big for them on their wrist.
I am one of those people. That's why this is the first thing that occurs to me is, as much as I love, because I'm on Series 4 now, and as much as I love being on Series 4 and having all the extra stuff that those extra 2 millimeters give me, it's still a whole lot of screen strapped to my arm. And I'd really like if maybe there were less.
And well, you will like it.
I mean, I do, but I would also like if I could have a smaller watch that would take phone calls and, you know, count my steps and all that kind of stuff. So that'd be great.
I think so too, especially for teenagers.
I don't have any. You're so cute, John. I don't have any data to back this up, but big watches have been a trend for years now.
Most of my life, Brian, I'm a product of the Swatch era. I remember.
Well, and outside of the Apple Watch smartwatch world, big watches have been trending for probably about 12 years, maybe even 15, 16 years.
Okay.
So I wonder, it is certainly possible that an Apple Watch SE could be smaller, and maybe that's one way that, I'm sorry, we don't know that it's going to be called that. We do not, but that's an easy way to get across.
If anybody's Apple is listening to this episode, we've said it so many times.
Yeah, they have no choice.
Are you listening, Apple?
But we're using that as a placeholder at the very least.
Yeah, of course.
My point being that it is possible that size could be one of the price aspects, right?
Yeah.
And it's possible even that size would make up a smaller size would allow Apple to actually put in more features and still keep that price down. So yeah, that's possible. It just doesn't feel right.
I don't expect it to be dramatical, you know, in size difference. Because if it's too much, if it gets to a certain point, right, people can't see it. Which is probably why big chunky watches have been trending for so long, is because there are so many people who, with a watch on their wrist, can't hold it far enough away to see it properly. So watches
also
get bigger.
A new Apple Watch band for a smaller device.
Oh, that's true.
And I don't know. I think that there's definitely a lot in Apple for Apple's benefit to have. To have a one size fits all Apple Watch.
That's true.
Industry.
Yeah. Because that's what, like, right now there's basically two sizes of watch band. There's the small one and the big one. And it doesn't matter what series of watch you have. If it's the original Apple Watch or a Series 5 Apple Watch, if you have the smaller size, you get this watch band. If you have the larger size, you get this watch band, because that didn't change. Because I have watch bands from my original watch. And they work on my tiny bit bigger Series 4 just fine, because I bought the smaller one the first time and the smaller one the second time. So there's a small watch size and a big watch size, and that's all there is. So
one thing that we haven't talked about in the whole show is whether or not there will be an iPad.
Let's talk about the iPad. What do you think?
John?
Well, Mark says an iPad Air with a smaller bezel.
How much smaller?
I have heard that before.
We've all heard that before, but you know,
to look more like its big brothers and less kludgy than the old iPads with a big bezel.
And it's certainly time for that. I mean, you know, like smaller bezels are good to a certain extent. Comes a point where now you're actually you can't do anything because you can't actually touch your own iPad.
That's where I would draw a line. Is like, yeah, it would be nice if there could be a bezel adjustment, but like your phone, even if you can't operate it with your thumb while you hold it in one hand, you can hold your phone in one hand around the back and holding on to the sides without actually having to touch the glass. And with your iPad, that's not always the case. A lot of people pick them up and hold them. And if you're going to pick it up and hold it, where do you hold it? You know,
I have that problem with the Kindle reader.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm holding my little iPad Mini 5 in bed when I'm reading at night, I have my thumb and four fingers around the back of it. And sometimes my thumb, because of the small bezel on that iPad, freezes the Kindle and I can't change pages. And I'm kind of have to sort of rejigger my thumb to just not impinge on the screen when I hold it. So, yeah, that's an issue. But Apple ignores those kinds of things.
Well, they do have a long history of telling me I'm holding it wrong. That's valid.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
What, so will this event have any mention of an iPhone at all?
I think Apple will announce a date for the next iPhone event.
During this event.
During this event, they'll say, we'll see you again in October to talk about the iPhone 12.
Could be.
I hadn't thought about it like that.
That would be a way to do it.
Yeah. Are we really at the point where Apple can practically press release a new iPhone, though? I just don't think so.
Well, I think, you know, with this video technology, with this virtual event technology, they can do all the events they like, and they don't have to worry about logistics.
That was the first thing I thought of today was when the announcement came out was, you know what we're not going to get with this event is the wave of grumbling about how am I supposed to get myself to California in a week?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, maybe this is going to be because this is our first like Apple event that, you know, Dub aside, because Dub is a creature of its own. This is like the first Apple event that's going to be virtual. So,
but I think WWDC was a technical proving ground for Apple.
Oh, absolutely.
And they developed the techniques and technologies, and it's going to be a lot easier to do this event than it was the WWDC keynote.
Sure, but Dub is its own creature. So, doing that, the logistics of putting that online versus the logistics of putting an Apple event online, which is a few people on stage, not having to worry about all the content that has to go up every day for a week, all that kind of stuff. Just the possibility of, you know, yes, we are in fact all here at Steve Jobs Theater. We're all here to talk to you about the thing. And maybe it's just a series of video packages that all get run in a row for all of us to watch online. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about your second, your Apple event sequel idea, John. I could see it, but I could also not see it.
There might be an opportunity here for journalists, too, since we're not traveling to California anymore for the Steve Jobs Theater event. Maybe Apple's more inclined to send out test articles for review.
Okay, I'm an optimist, but wow, John, that's optimistic.
You know, you don't get it. You could always ask, say, hey, you know, since we're not going to have a chance to come out and handle your product, why don't we just do the reverse and you send it to me and I'll handle it where I am.
Hey, go for the no. It's always a good plan. I look forward to to finding out what response you get from Apple on that, John. I'm sure Brian does too. Brian, what do you think about a separate event for the iPhone?
I'm sorry, I'm holding my breath. I'm really busy. I'm busy holding my breath for my iPhone review units. There's no way that Apple's going to introduce a new iPhone, especially a move to 5G, without doing some kind of event.
Yeah.
So it either gets crammed into this one, or it will be a second one. The rumors are pretty strong that it won't be this one, and that's where I'm standing at the moment.
I agree.
Okay. Well, then that's where we're standing. So that's going to do it for us today. Thank you both for being here. John Martellaro, as always, thanks for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And with me, Brian Chaffin. Thanks so much for being here, Brian.
Thanks for having us, Kelly. Always good.
And if you have any speculation about the Apple event, if you feel particularly strongly, let us know. Observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, and comments in the show notes. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.